BBC News at 9 o'clock. More than 200 scientists have written to the government urging it to introduce tougher measures to stop the spread of coronavirus. They argue that what they call the current laissez-faire attitude to the virus is risking lives. The government said it would be introducing further planned interventions soon. 10 more people in the UK have died in the last 24 hours after testing positive for coronavirus, bringing the total number of deaths to 21. France has announced drastic new measures to combat the spread of the virus. From Paris, here's Hugh Schofield.
This is a dramatic ratcheting up of the French response that reflects growing alarm at the fast spread of the virus. In a televised announcement, Prime Minister Edouard Philippe said it was clear that people were not properly following existing advice on limiting encounters with others. So, from midnight tonight, all places where people meet for non-essential purposes will be closed. This includes restaurants, bars, cafes, cinemas and clubs. Food shops, pharmacies, petrol stations and banks will remain open, but all other types of commerce will have to close until further notice.
Spain has announced a 15-day nationwide lockdown during which people will be banned from leaving home except for work or food shopping. The German capital Berlin has banned all public and private events of more than 50 people. Jet 2 planes heading to Spain were turned around in mid-air as the airline cancelled all flights to the mainland, Balearic Islands and the Canary Islands because of coronavirus. BBC News.
Now on Radio 4, another of our comedy dramas about an immigrant fish and chip shop in Leeds. It's 1936 and the riddle of the battered devil is about to be solved.
So, some of them came to Hull, thinking they were in America. And instead of the flat vowels of New York, they got the even flatter vowels of old Yorkshire.
Now then, Imee, what's your name?
Moishe Baranchik.
Morris Brown. Next.
So Baranchik became Brown, and Pinchas became Porter, Greenberg became Green, and, well, you get the picture, eh? And what wasn't changed in the 1890s was anglicised later, when they wanted to get on and get out, like all the huddled masses. They were just glad to see the back of Russia and the hard life of Minsky Pinsk. Some stayed put in the north of England, where there was a living to be made in the schmutter trade mostly, Manchester and Leeds. So, let's Google Earth down to some of them, eh? You've been here before, Chapel Town, Leeds, the little immigrant chippy run by chippy immigrants. We've rewound back in time to the start of our story, the 1930s, that dank, dark and dirty decade, 1936 to be exact, to solve the riddle of the battered devil. Bitter Batter by Gary Brown.
what can I get you, gents?
This is Melvin with a Y, 45 years old. A nice man with chilblains and varicose veins from standing on his size 11s all day. He's serving with Jean, a thin but attractive woman with flesh as white as the fish she serves.
Fish and chips twice.
With scraps.
Oh, don't really do scraps, sir.
Oh, why is that then?
Well, we fry in oil rather than beef dripping.
Doesn't make as much bits of batter.
Fish and chips without scraps. It's like shoes without laces.
Laurel without Hardy.
lasses without fellas. Hey, love.
Not if they've sucked ale all night. Yes, love?
Haddock special, please.
One haddock special.
Righto.
So why do you do that, then? Frying oil?
Because this is a Jewish fish and chip shop. That's right, isn't it?
It is that, love.
This is a Jewish area, then, mate?
Some would say so.
It was then that Melvin glimpsed a black shirt beneath an overcoat, and with a dull ache in the pit of his belly, remembered there was a fascist meeting at the Corn Exchange in town.
So what are them? Them in the jar?
A gherkins.
You what?
Pickled cucumbers.
All right. Do you want one, Len?
Yeah, go on, then.
Oh, right you are, then. That'll be four and take me.
Please.
Please.
What's this box for? J.N.F.
Can you put that down?
Please?
It stands for Jewish National Fund, mate.
Hey, who asked you?
You wanted to know, I'm telling you.
Why don't you collect for some English?
Look, can you pay, please, and then go?
Yeah, come on, lads, that's enough, eh? Joke's over.
Well, I've only got fourpence. Can you let us off the eightpenny? I mean, what's an eightpenny to you?
My life.
My life.
You were the man, Pale.
Hey, keep your nose out, you.
It's big enough.
And he's got black hair.
Are you a senior and all, then?
No.
Well, keep out of it, then.
Yeah, look out for your own.
What, rubbish like you?
Hey, watch
it. It's all right, mate. I can deal with this. Look, can you please pay up? Fortensate me.
Well, in that case, we'll have to put these gherkins back, eh? Found an itch there.
He's Judas.
Yeah, daylight robbery. Oh, dear.
Oh, no. Man.
Silly me.
Oh.
Butterfingers.
Jean. Go and phone the police, love.
Yeah, right.
You do no such thing.
Get your bloody great hands off me!
Get off her, pal.
You what?
You heard. And you'll have to pay for that and all.
What?
That jar, those gherkins.
Hey, do you want a bunch of fives, old love?
And with that, the young man took on both the black shirts. One he knocked out cold with a swift left-hander. The other he grappled to the glass and gherkins lino.
And do you want a bunch of five gherkins to eat off the floor, eh? Right. Old love.
We play the game of stay away, but it costs more than I can pay. Without you, I can't make my way.
Mind your feet.
I surrender, dear.
So, where did you learn to fight like that?
I come from tough stock, mate.
Yeah, but to take on two starkers like that...
Puffed up with ale, more like.
Yeah, but much appreciated what you did. You didn't have to do it.
You needed help, I gave it.
Haven't seen you around before.
I have. Been in the shop a few times, haven't you?
No, been in there for a few weeks now, looking for work, like.
No luck?
No, me and every bugger else.
Well, looking for anything in particular?
Oh, do help me. Labouring, handyman. Could even turn me on to first aid.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, or in medical corps, in war.
Ah... And guess where I was?
Hey, never not catering, lads, mate. Did the best you could with gristle and gravy. Actually, I once worked in a chip shop when I was a lad. I know it's hard graft.
Oh, where was that then?
Castleford.
You've been a pit man then?
Oh, aye, in my time.
What's your name?
Malcolm. Malcolm Hovis.
Well, like the bread, huh?
Yeah, slice it any way you want.
I'll start mopping the floor when I've swept it up, shall I, Mr. McKinsey?
Oh, thanks, Jean, love.
Yes, you heard right. Melvin McKlinsky. The real name was Margolinsky. It got shortened in Hull. Melvin's dad played up to it. He had red hair and a liking for anything Scottish, especially if it came in a glass.
They're back!
Careful.
There might be glass still on the floor.
Whoa, what's happened?
Oh, just a slight altercation with some fascists.
Dad, are you all right, Menashe?
This is my mother and my daughter.
Which is which? They look like sisters.
Oh, so who's your friend? Jam de Figulus from the trees.
My name's Malcolm.
And he's going to be working for us.
So, what picture have you been to see?
The 39 Steps with Robert Donat.
Oh, fantastic. I love that film.
So do I.
She loves Robert Donat.
He's Jewish, you know.
Yeah, what, like Betty Davis, huh?
Only a Jew could kvetch and complain like that lady. Yeah,
John Gilbert.
Real name, Goldberg.
She's got all her theories. Rudolf Valentino isn't really dead.
He just wanted a rest. He's gone back to Italy to be with his mama.
Aye, there's too many unanswered questions, Bobby.
This man, he knows.
I do indeed, Bobby.
Okay, you're probably wondering why a little old Jewish woman whose only masculine attribute is a luxuriant moustache is called Bobby. Sort of conjures up unfunny comedians and footballers with comb-overs, eh? Well, it's Yorkshire Yiddish for grandmother.
So, no, Menashe, where's my tea?
Oh, yeah. Oh, what did your last servant die of?
With a zets on the head for answering back.
I'll give you a hand.
So, Bobby, oh, what's your favourite John Gilbert picture?
Queen Christina, no contest.
Oh, mine too.
Oh, he's a real charmer.
He's charming with his fists too.
Harvey's coming round for tea tomorrow. Is that all right?
Yeah, of course. As long as we talk about something other than the wedding.
Well, it is a big thing, Dad.
You're that, I know. I'm paying for it.
Dad?
It's a joke.
Might be another wedding in the offing. Bobby's taking a real shine to your friend.
Well, he's a nice fella.
You think everyone's a nice fella. Is he going to stay here tonight?
Well, till he gets himself some digs.
We hardly know him.
All I know is that he risks getting a good hiding for a total stranger, and that's good enough for me.
But do you need any more help in the shop? I mean, is there the work?
Of course there is.
And what about Jean? She kicked up a stink over the last help he had.
Oh, don't worry about Jean. I'll have a word when I take her home later.
Hope this doesn't mean you'll be reducing my hours, Mr. McClinsky.
No, of course not.
Only things haven't been that great in the shop, have they?
Ah, they'll book up. They're bound to.
You've been saying that for a while, if you don't mind me saying so.
It's a passing fad. Shiffers is new and they're that bit cheaper than us.
Folks say it's good quality too. Fresh fish, crispy chips.
Who says?
Harry Minkin.
Yeah, that schnorrer. What does he know?
He was one of our best customers.
Says who? Customers like him I could do without.
Bye.
Well, can't I?
No, not tonight.
What? Why not?
I just don't want to.
Oh, right. Well, let me walk you to the door.
No. Good night, Mr. McClinsky.
Good night, Jean. Love.
Good night, sweetheart. All my prayers are for you. Good night, sweetheart.
Oh, you all right, pal?
Just having a breather.
Warm day, close.
Feels like it might thunder. You're doing a grand job there. Big windows.
Vinegar and brown paper. Make some sparkle like diamonds. You're Harvey, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, beg pardon. I'm Malcolm, just started here.
In the shop?
Yes.
Oh, right. How did you...
Rachel, well, she described you.
In glowing terms, I hope.
Yeah, of course. That's how I knew it was you.
Well, glad to meet you.
Likewise.
No doubt we'll be seeing more of each other.
You bet.
In fact, it was Bobby who told them about Harvey. Rachel's intended. She said how he was a good boy, steady, comes from a good family.
And he's got prospects. The only thing that's wrong with him is his arm and leg. Thin like Chuck's leg. Poor boy, crippled by polio.
But Malcolm knew that already.
How long has that new shop been open?
Well, Shiffers. Mm. 6 months, 3 weeks and 4 days. But who's counting?
Taking a lot of your trade?
Well, they're a bit cheaper than us. Must be taking a loss. Typical of that mamza.
Melvin.
What?
Don't take this the wrong way, but I reckon you'll be bust within the year.
And what do you know?
Remember, I've tasted both your fish and chips.
Oh, that makes you an expert?
I'm a Yorkshire man, pal. We're weaned on them. And I'm telling you straight.
What?
Your chips are soggy.
I'll change the oil next week.
Your mushy peas aren't mushy enough.
Jews like to see that they're peas.
But worst of all, your batter's lifeless and tasteless.
Look on, get out.
What?
Sling your hook.
I'm telling you as a mate.
Who's stabbing me in the heart?
Who's telling you the truth? And you know it, Melvin.
What do Shiffer's fish taste like?
All right.
Well, and you're right.
Still better than yours. Look, let me mix the batter for today.
You what?
I've got a special way of doing it.
Well, how do you mean, special?
My nana had this recipe.
Your nana? What's in it?
Air and lots of love.
Sorry?
Look, just trust me, let me do it for one day. As a trial.
Now, here's a very interesting fact for your delectation. That venerable organisation, the National Federation of Fish Friers, recognises that the oldest fish and chip shop recorded in Britain was Malins of Bow, a Jewish enterprise in the East End of London, started in the mid-19th century. It grew out of the Jews' love for fried fish and the Irish love of the potato, the original national takeaway dish created by immigrants. Neat, eh? I'm full of them, me.
Well, I never used a whisk before.
Puts air into the mixture, makes the batter light and fluffy.
Yeah, you can see that.
And now, a special ingredient.
Now, remember, we're kosher here. No meat products, nothing treif.
Oh, really?
Really. So, if your special ingredient is...
It's pale ale.
What?
A drop of pale ale.
You're joking.
I never joke where food is concerned, my friend. And no, it will not get your customers shicker.
Huh? Where did you learn Yiddish, huh?
I'm a man of many surprises, me.
And so he is. Because the new recipe batter is a hit. A palpable hit.
Mmm, lovely batter. Mm.
Crispy and gossamer light on the outside.
Moist and succulent on the inside.
With a little hint of sweetness in the batter. What are you doing different, Melvin?
With a Y.
That's my secret, but enjoy, my friends, enjoy!
And they did. They salivated, masticated and prognosticated.
It's different class to Schiffer's, is this?
They better look to their laurels.
And indeed, Schiffer's trade plummeted, whilst McClinsky's soared. But not everyone was happy.
I'm off now, Mr. McClinsky.
Oh, hang on a sec, Jean, love. Just while I cash up.
It's all right. I want to walk. Nice night. Do me good. Get some fresh air.
Oh, don't be like that.
Like what?
Well, let me drive you home.
Yeah. And we all know why you want to be doing that.
We have our chats and all, don't we, love?
Aye. Well, you've got your new best mate for that now. What do you need me for?
I miss you.
What? Miss sneaking around? Miss lying to your mother and Rachel?
Shh. Schweig.
Yeah, dead right, Melvin. Schweig and stumm and whatever Yiddish words you use for keeping me quiet, keeping me secret.
I see you right, don't I?
Maybe that's not enough anymore.
Oh. Come here.
No! Someone might see us.
Bobby and Rachel are in bed.
I said no.
Look, I'll switch the light off, shall I?
What? So I can't see your ugly mush? Oh, get off.
Hey, please, Jean, love. Oh, I've missed you. I need you.
No, you don't.
I do. I'm a glomp. A big, fat glomp.
Which roughly translates as a big, thick lump of a bloke. Onomatopoeic, isn't it?
Yeah, you're a glomp.
And so, Melvin embraced Jean gently. And they hugged and inhaled their mutual loneliness and fishiness. Melvin could never get over how a big, ugly fella like him could be attractive to such a fine-boned woman. As fine-boned as the fish she fillets. And Jean could never get over the fact that she actually cared for this.
Glomp. Big.
Fat.
Lovely.
Glomp. And give us a kiss.
Melvin.
No one can see.
But someone could see.
Oh, sorry. Really sorry. sorry.
Dancing in the dark till the tune ends. We're dancing in the dark.
Right, nice car. Morris, is it?
12-4.
Oh, sturdy.
Well, it's not built for Malcolm Campbell, that's for sure.
All right. Look, I didn't mean to. I had no idea.
Yes, well...
I can keep it under me hat, you know?
It's just that...
I know. She's not... Jewish.
Yes. And since my wife died...
A man has his needs, eh?
Oh, look, she means more to me than that. I mean, I'm very...
Fond of her?
But yes. But it's difficult.
I get the picture, Melvin. She's a fine lass. Handsome. Anyone can see that.
So I'd appreciate a little...
Absolutely. I can be trusted, mate. That enough?
More pepper. The elite facts. We like things peppery. Just like life. Dumma sugar no Pollocks to add sugar. Can you believe that? Sweet gefilte fish. Now's a good bit. You mishy mashy it up. Go on.
If you don't mind me asking.
Ask away.
How did Melvin's wife die?
Oh, terrible. terrible childbirth. Then Rokana was born, couldn't stop the blood. It was terrible, terrible. But my Melvin got by in the end.
Oh, must have been lonely for him.
Sure, but he got me and Rachel and the business. We all work together.
And Jean.
But what about her?
Well, she works with you.
Yes?
I mean, she's worked here for, I don't know.
Who knows? 10 years, maybe?
But it's a long time. I mean, she must be almost like family to you and Melvin.
Don't know about family.
But he'd be lost without her.
What do you mean?
Serving behind the counter. They're a team.
Yes, suppose so.
Yeah. I think that's it.
What?
I've finished mixing.
Malcolm and Melvin have gone to the Russian Baths in town, just behind the market.
Yeah, for a bloody good schwitz.
A sweat. A time to open up the pores and chew the fat.
How's the wedding plans, eh?
Oh, they're getting bigger and bigger. The Rachel wants to make it the wedding of the year. Big schbrauncy-do.
Bet it don't come cheap.
Oh, well, with everything included, it'll be over 2 bob a head.
2 bob?
Yeah. It's costing me an arm and a leg.
That's a bit...
What?
...cruel.
What do you mean?
Oh, sorry, mate. I thought you was talking about Harvey's... Oh, forget it.
Well, come on.
Well, I thought, you know, what with him being a...
Oh, God, no! No, I never joke about a thing like that. Never. No, he's a good lad. No, he thinks the world of Rachel. He does.
Absolutely. And you'd hardly notice it most of the time, him being a cripple.
Want a strawberry?
Mm.
What are you chocolate. Two lovebirds doing here?
Oh, we're just trying these new milkshakes.
Oh, aye.
Why don't you try one? They've got them in all flavours. Vanilla, strawberry, banana.
No, thanks. Like me milk to taste like milk.
Don't know what you're missing.
What are you doing in town, then?
Buying the ring.
Oh, let's have a look, then.
I haven't bought it yet. Can't decide.
What? Plain or pattern?
No, cheap or expensive.
You shouldn't think about out like that.
Well, Dad's buying the ring.
Yeah, he very kindly said he'd pay for it.
Hey, listen, I've just been with your dad, and he's the happiest man in the world.
Not the impression he's been given of late.
Oh, that's just him. You know he doesn't show his feelings. He said to me that he's not scrimping over this wedding. You're his only daughter, and he wants to do it proper.
Did he really say that?
He's not doing anything by halves, and neither should you two. So you buy that expensive ring.
So Malcolm Holmes whisked the lives of the McClinskys, bubbling toxic air into their brains. And when Bobby got irritable with Jean...
The floor's like a midden.
I'll do it soon, Mrs. McClinsky.
Oh, if you need something doing, do it yourself.
And kind-hearted Melvin with a Y started to gently criticise Harvey.
I only want the best for you, Rachel.
Why are you doing this now, Dad?
All I'm saying is I don't want you to end up being his nursemaid.
When all of this started to bubble up like an acid burp, well, Malcolm, he smiled.
Are my eyes too close together? Have I got bad breath?
You what?
Well, what is it about me that you don't like, Gina?
Don't talk daft. What are you on about?
No, come on, I'd like to know. We've got to work together, you and me. And if you got out against me, I'd rather we got it out in open.
All right, then. You're too cocky. Too cocky by half.
All right.
It's like you're everybody's best mate. I don't like the way you talk to Melvin like you've known him half your life. And the way you catch his cigarettes. And the way you know alt about alt.
But apart from that...
Well, you wanted to know.
Hey, what's going on? Huh? I will not have laughter in my fish and chip emporium. Huh?
It's your mate, Malcolm.
No, it's Jean, mean Jean.
No, it's you.
Yeah? What about him?
He's a right card. A right bloody card.
I want Mousy.
One day, Bobby and Rachel were going for a new shaitel for the wedding. A shaitel is a wig that Orthodox Jewish ladies wear to cover their hair.
But you've always had brunettes.
And now I want mousy.
But don't you want to look nice for the wedding?
I don't want to take the limelight away from you.
Bobby's hair is actually silky snow white. She hasn't had it cut since 1912. She's 4'10".
And a half.
And her hair comes
right down past me pipic.
By day, it's pinned up like a bagel on top of her head. And at night, she combs it free.
Look, Bobby, they've got some lovely dark ones here.
Now, there's two butchers that face each other across Chapeltown Road. One with a pig's head in the O of Johnson's Master Butchers. The other with the Star of David that pinions the A of Rosenbaum's. But here's the thing. Whilst Bobby was trying on wigs, she saw Malcolm Hovis come out of Johnson's with a package. So, what's the big deal? It's not like he's yidden and he has to keep kosher. But he knows he mustn't cook treif in the house. So this arouses Bobby's suspicions. She says nothing to Rachel. She likes a good mystery. She's seen all the Thin Man films.
Sometimes twice clever clogs.
Say it's only a paper moon. Sailing over a cardboard sea.
It's the early hours of the morning. Malcolm's in the back kitchen, furtively cooking something. Bobby enters.
Is that you, Menashe? Melvin?
No, it's me, Malcolm.
What you doing this time of night? Smells funny. You cooking? We don't want no treif here.
No. I'm, boiling me Yankees.
What?
Getting me Yankees clean, and don't worry, it's me own pot.
This time of night?
It's the only time the kitchen's free.
Just need a drink of water. Oh, that schmaltz herring keeps repeating on me.
Sure it wasn't the pale ale?
Cheeky monkey.
Bobby had her reading glasses on, so everything had a hazy, surreal quality to it.
Good night, Malcolm.
Good night, Bobby.
In the half-light of the kitchen, she thought she saw the shape of something sticking out of the lid of the pot. It could have been the end of a dirty handkerchief, but it could also have been a pig's ear. That night, Bobby dreams. She dreams of pigs.
No, you dirty havers. You're unclean.
Yes, we eat our own doodles.
Go away, or I'll blow your house down.
And she dreams of devils.
Eat them all, Jewess. They're juicy and succulent. Eat their fleshy flesh, their meaty meat. You know you want to.
No.
Yes, eat us, even though we say it ourselves. We're delicious.
No. Get away from me.
Look at those tasty chops, lovely with apple sauce. Or you could jelly their trotters, or fry their cured flesh.
Or roast our bellies.
No, it's treif. Get away from me. Get behind me, Coleria.
Go on, old hag. Wash it down with a glass of milk. What's the big deal? They're pigs. What makes you so special?
Who are you? Get away from me.
You know who I am. You've always known.
I, Gavalt. Of course. The name.
I'm afraid your mother has had a stroke.
Oh, Bobby.
Will she live, Doctor? Well, she is an elderly woman, but I think she may be through the worst.
We can take her home.
In a few days. But there's a possibility she may never regain the power of movement or speech.
Oh, poor Bobby.
So, Bobby McClinsky lies in a bed of cold white sheets amongst Bobby. Strangers. Yeah, aye. Those bony fingers that violently pinch children's cheeks lie still. Rachel brings her hot chicken soup in a flask and blows on the spoon.
Bobby.
She wipes away the soup and saliva from the toothless mouth of a woman who's never had a day's sickness in her life, in Vilna or in Leeds.
Are you all right, Jane?
I'm fine, truly.
Upset about Mrs. McClinsky?
Bobby... Yeah, such a shock.
It is sad. But these things happen. She's an old woman.
Yeah.
Are you sure you're all right?
Oh, Malcolm. I'm bloody pregnant.
What have I done to deserve this? First me mother, and now this. What am I cursed?
Look, there's no need to panic.
No need to panic? What am I going to do? I mean, why didn't Jean come and tell me herself?
Well...
But I can't marry her. Well, she knows that.
There is another way, of course.
No.
She won't be the first or the last.
Well, it can be dangerous, can't it?
Not if it's done properly.
Well, you hear all sorts of tales...
I told you I had some medical training in the army.
Yes?
Well, I know people. And there's this old lass. She's the best in Yorkshire.
No, I'd rather she had it, adopted or something like that.
What? And have it turn up on your doorstep in 20 years' time? What would Rachel say to her half-Goyska brother or sister? Can you live with the shame?
Oh, I've got to go and talk to Jean.
No, you can't.
Why not?
Well, I'm afraid she doesn't want to see you.
I'll go and see her maybe tomorrow when she's...
Melvin! She doesn't want to see you. Ever again.
This is very good of you, Malcolm.
Least I could do, Jean, love.
And he said he didn't want to see me.
He thought it worth it best to make a clean break and that.
Bastard.
Don't be too hard on him. He did pay for this.
Blood money. That's what it is.
Well, that lot think money will solve out.
Yeah. Big mammy's boy. All the years I listened to him bleating on about how lonely he was, how much he cared for me. He'd always look after me.
He's a Jew, love. They only look after their own.
All the time he was ashamed of me. He used me and threw me away like a used dishcloth.
I don't need your photograph to keep by my bed. Your picture is always my head.
So Jean had her problem sorted out and went back to her mother in Huddersfield. In 1938, she marries a milkman called Ted, and they lavish their love on a mongrel called Skipper Bob. Ted dies relatively young in 1952. The handbrake on his milk float slipped and he was pinioned against the wall. Jean dies in an old age home in Bridlington in 1973 whilst watching The Golden Shot. But back in 1936, Melvin with a Y sobbed into his pillow and drank Scotch whiskey like his old man to make himself sleep.
Oh, why? Why?
He sobbed for his dead wife, his mother, and for Jean.
Melvin? You all right? Melvin?
Yes.
But he wasn't. How had he got into this mess?
I see your face in every flower, your eyes in stars above.
Bobby was brought back home, a tiny, sinewy scrap of sunken olive skin and white, silky hair. But those peasant eyes that had seen three children buried, two during infancy, one in the flu pandemic, those wily, yellowed, brown, black eyes, they were still alive and wary.
Are you comfortable, Bobby?
The doctor said she might be like this. It takes a while to settle back home.
But she was trying to communicate, to tell them what she knew, to warn them. Then something catches her attention through the window.
Rachel! Mr. McClinsky!
What is it?
Shh, Bobby!
Sorry, but you'll never believe it.
Believe what?
Come outside! Everyone's outside.
Oi, Gewalt! Get quick, Rachel! Get me binoculars, they're under the stairs.
All right, I'll be quick.
Bloody hell, it's the Hindenburg! It's the Hindenburg, isn't it, Harvey?
Yeah, it's the Hindenburg, all right.
And it was. The famous passenger airship, the Hindenburg. She passed over Leeds on Tuesday the 30th of June 1936. Fact. She was on her way from Germany to America. As it passed over Keighley, a few miles from Leeds, an object was dropped. Naturally, people were trepidatious. After all, things weren't too clever between the English and the Germans since Herr Hitler took charge. But when this object was retrieved, it was found to be a wreath. And on that wreath was a card. And on that card was the name of a German POW who was buried in a local cemetery.
Here's your bins! Dad! Dad, your bins!
Oh, Tom! It's incredible, isn't it?
Scary, more like.
Yeah, I can see a swastika! Great big bloody swastika!
Someone should shoot the great big bugger down!
No. Rachel, language!
I can see the people up there!
Germans?
Nazis, more like.
Their faces!
Then all the blood drained from Melvin and pooled in the pit of his belly. As he thought he saw a face he recognized.
Ich liebe dich, Melvin. Ich liebe dich.
A face who was meant to be fishing in Roundhay Park.
So how's your mother?
Well, she's not in any pain.
That's good. She's a real old love. I'd hate to see her suffer.
Yeah, but she probably won't be able to talk anymore or move.
Oh, dear.
Did you hear about this Zeppelin that came over this afternoon?
The Hindenburg, yes. Everyone's been talking about it. Did you see it?
Yes, I even got the binoculars out.
Got a good look, then?
Yeah, could see the faces of the passengers.
Oh, did they wave?
One of them was the spit of you.
Well, they always say you've got a double somewhere in the world.
Were you on that Zeppelin?
Are you daft or what?
Well, were you?
Have you been drinking?
No. Well...
Because I couldn't help noticing those empty whiskey bottles.
It's none of your business what I do.
There's no need to get narked at me, pal. I'm only looking out for you. You know me.
No, I don't. I don't know you at all. Who the hell are you?
You know exactly who I am. From day one. Malcolm Hovis.
Malcolm Hovis.
Melvin wasn't a religious man. Far from it. Nevertheless, he knew enough to know where to look and in what dusty tomes.
Oh, where is it? Where is it? Of course. Malcolm Hovis.
What are you looking for, Melvin?
Rabbi, I need help.
In these books?
No, I'm doing a play for Purim.
Oh, yes.
It's a fairy tale. There's this man and he has this unwanted guest. He needs to get rid of him.
Where are we going?
Shh! To Bobby's room.
Why?
I can't tell you. I want you to lock yourselves in.
You're frightening me, Daddy.
There's no need to be frightened, but whatever you hear, whatever noises you hear, please don't open the door. Do not open the door!
Hello, Melvin with a Y, you big, lovable glomp.
Oh, it's good to see you too, Malcolm. Are you mixing the batter, I see?
Yes, I am. The batter that your customers love. They love its piquancy. It tickles their taste buds and their lovely, lively Semitic noses.
Your nana's recipe.
That's right, old pal. Old love. With the special ingredient, of course.
And the special ingredient being...
I think you know, old pal, old love. I think you've always known.
So it's not pale ale, then?
No. And don't you Hebrews love it? You lick your lips and fingers. You can't get enough of it. Yum, yum, pig's bum.
Who are you?
Your friend, old pal, old love. The one you made a deal with, old love.
Friend doesn't do what you've done.
This is the thanks I get for making you a success. And are you happy?
Did you harm my mother?
Didn't need to. Her overeating imagination blew a gasket. It popped in her brain and stilled her evil, clacking peasant tongue.
And what about Jean?
Oh, you really care about Jean, love, do you? The shiksa who bore your weight and was bored by you.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do.
She got rid of your blob of blood like it was a blister. I was there. I saw it. I held the bucket.
You!
What? Come on, say it.
Who are you?
The one you invited in, Melvin. The one you listened to. And now you can't get shut of me.
No?
No. Because if everyone knew, well, I say everyone, I mean everyone in your little inbred community, if they knew what you'd been feeding them, oh, you'd be ruined. Oh, the shame, the disgrace. Oh, what has he been feeding us, the Meshuggahna? They'd string you up and use your blood for matzos, so you'll just have to put up with me forever. Yes, me, you and Rachel, because she'll soon get fed up with that little cripple.
No, she won't.
I'll make her love
you. You're evil!
Hooray! It's finally clicked. The penny's dropped, so just you give in, eh? Sit back and count your shekels.
Never!
What are you doing?
Now, on this piece of paper is the ineffable name of our Lord.
Keep it away! Keep it away from me!
Why? Huh? Who are you?
You know who I am. Malcolm Horvis.
Who?
Malcolm Horvis.
Quicker!
Malcolm Horvis.
Yes! Malcolm Horvis. And that means, in Yiddish...
The devil. Asmodeus, Satan, Baal.
And now Malcolm shows his true nature. His horned face, forked tail and cloven hooves.
You are nothing against me.
Then I brandish the ineffable name of the Almighty.
No, no, get it away.
There it is. Look upon it, you evil creature. The name of the creator of the world.
No, stop it. I am your friend. I love you and you love me.
No, I don't. You're no friend of mine.
Malcolm stumbles backwards into the battery's main. It coats him and his curling tail. Melvin rushes forward and gives him a good shove into the oil.
No! I am you and you and me, and we are all together.
God. Blimey, that was scary. I thought he was going to swivel his head and vomit mushy peas as well. But there you have it. The devil was bettered and battered. And the instant Malcolm hit the oil, Bobby regained the power of speech.
Get me some prunes. Am I constipated?
Harvey remarkably bulked up his arm and leg.
Hey, pass me that ball. I want to kick it and play association football.
And Melvin with a Y vowed to rename McClinsky's the Battered Devil.
To ward off bad luck.
And to spit in the eye of the devil.
And that was put into the deeds, that the fish and chip shop was always to be called the Battered Devil. And so began the passing of the fishy baton from Jew to Italian, to Ugandan Asian, to Jamaican, to Pole. And who knows who's next on Chapel Town Road in Leeds, eh? Everyone needs their soul food. And what of 1936 and Malcolm Horvis's batter? The special recipe from his nana? Well, Melvin was going to change it, of course. It didn't matter that he would lose business to Schiffers. It's a case of integrity, isn't it? Not fooling your customers and the community. Mind you, who the hell would know? Only the flaming devil. In Bitter Batter, the narrator was played by Stephen Greif, Melvin by David Fleischman, and Malcolm by Jeff Hordley. Jean was played by Alwyn May, Bobby by Vanessa Rosenthal, and Rachel by Julia Rayner. Harvey was played by Richard Jackson, Rabbi Goldberg by Lloyd Peters, and The Doctor by Hamilton Burstock. Bitter Batter was written by Gary Brown and directed and produced in Manchester by Peter Leslie Wilde.
And now, on BBC Radio 4, Annika Stranded by Nick Walker. Annika, the leading light in the murder squad of the Oslo police, is deployed with the army for a change. On manoeuvres.
Norway, as a sovereign nation, has from time to time in its history had the misfortune of being at war. We're not alone in this. Every country in the world goes through this, apart from, you know, places like the Seychelles or the islands of Vanuatu or, I don't know, the Vatican City. Standout conflicts for Norway might include the Battle of Havesfjord in the year 872, which created our first king. Stamford Bridge in England in 1066, which pretty much put an end to the Vikings. And then there were a bunch of disputes with our neighbours, Sweden, Denmark and Finland, which lasted for what probably felt like 1,000 years for all the countries concerned. In the 20th century, even when we pulled that old trick of being neutral, we still suffered losses in the First World War and got ourselves occupied in the Second. In modern-day Norway, our military is dotted over the globe as part of an allied force fighting in a number of disputed territories, and although no one would characterise us as one of the big players in terms of military might, we nevertheless have some guns, and we have some people prepared to fire them, and we put about 1 and a bit% of our GDP into an army, an air force, and a navy. Alongside that, we also have military police who have authority over the force's personnel wherever they're stationed. On the whole, the MPs deal straightforwardly with most low-level stuff, but in complex cases like narcotics or serious violent crime, or when they've just reached a dead end, then they bring in the big guns. And by the big guns, I'm talking about Annika Stranhed of the Oslo Boat Patrol. Sorry, I had army drums in my head when I said that.